You're listening to You Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, October 3rd, and this is episode 9. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. Tough loss over the weekend, but we'll get through it, Ute fans. We'll get through it. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
You know, I'm still hurting a little bit, but
it's painful.
Slowly getting better.
It's painful for sure. So thank you, everybody, for your continued support. If this is your first time listening to us, thank you for tuning in. Ute Talk Podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this every week for your enjoyment. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all that stuff. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get into it. Our Ute News of the Week. We got a couple things here. Latest for Ute Talk is that we have added more content. Grant and Joseph are joining us on Wednesdays. They are doing a separate show, more statistical or analytical breakdown of the upcoming opponent. And so look for them on Wednesday nights as they break that down. Next on the list is Whittingham is still one win away from number 100. Unfortunately, as you know, I would imagine all of us saw the heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, painful loss against Cal. So Whittingham did not get number 100, which is very unfortunate. But we'll look for that number 100 at home against Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, and hopefully he gets that.
Yep.
Rich Rod hasn't beaten Rich Rod while he's been at Arizona, so nope. Hopefully he can get that win and get that monkey off his back and also get number 100.
Absolutely. Two birds with one stone right there this weekend, guys. Next on the list is our injuries, and I'll let Patrick talk about that.
Well, most fans probably know by now, but the Utes lost J.J. Dielman, their starting center for the season. He got injured there in the first quarter of that Cal game. Tough loss, very heartbroken. Dillman's a senior. You know, he's been a mainstay on the offensive line for, you know, while he's been at the U.
Mm-hmm.
Team captain, team leader, kind of the heart and soul of that offensive line and the leader. So they're definitely going to miss him. That's a huge loss for the Utes. I know they say next man up, but that's a big void to fill there.
It is.
And hopefully whoever fills that will do a great job, and I'm sure they will, but that's still a big loss for the Utes.
Yeah, it's whoever the coaches decide, it's not J.J. Dielman, which is unfortunate. You know, as Patrick said, it's a big blow. Lowe, who came in and did quite a phenomenal job after he got the jitters out, you know, just not the same type of player.
Yeah, and that's four season-ending injuries this year for the Utes. So, you know, Kylie Fitz, Dillman, before the season, they lost their projected starting center, and Leva Hutu, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you say it. And then also the tight end, Siale.
Yep.
I'm not going to try his name, but his last name. But tough blow. That those are four talented guys that mm-hmm. were projected to, you know, help the Utes out this season. But tough loss for them. The Utes are a little bit nicked up right now. You saw in that Cal game, you know, injuries were kind of piling up. A lot of guys have little nagging injuries, little bumps, bruises that are, you know, holding them up. But hopefully everybody can heal up and get ready to still take the Pac-12 South title.
Yeah. We need to get those guys in the, what are those new, like, chambers that you stand up in and you freeze yourself for like 30 seconds or something like that?
Oh yeah, like the cryotherapy or
something like that. We need to get several of those up on campus stat. You know, let's get the guys in there and rehab and heal some of these knocks that we've got. So hopefully, you know, I mean, lots of players, you know, according to the Witt's press conference, you know, about a dozen players, he said, he didn't say specific names, but about a dozen players have some sort of knock that they are on the fence of whether they will play this weekend. So hopefully all those guys come back for this weekend, because we need them, you know, if we want to make some moves in the Pac-12. Our next part of the news, excuse me, is the huge drop in ranking. We were 18 going into the Cal game. We've dropped six spots to number 24. You know, it is what it is. You know, anytime you lose, you can't expect to stay where you're at. But, I mean, we've got Oklahoma at 20. Colorado is at 21. West Virginia is 22. Florida State is at 23. We're at 24. And then Virginia Tech at 25. So there's your 20 to 25 numbers. So Oklahoma is a 2-2 squad. Colorado is 4-1. Also Pac-12 South contender as it stands now. So, you know, we still control our own destiny for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, Colorado's been... they've been looking pretty decent this season. So hopefully that makes the rivalry game a little bit better towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
but, you know, Utes at 24, you know, that's I figured they'd drop right around probably 24, 25. I didn't think they would fall out of the top 25, but that's pretty much where I figured they'd go, 24, 25.
Yeah. I was hoping they wouldn't drop that far, but like I said, you know, with losses, you can't expect to stay anywhere close where you're at. And our final Ute news is the Runnin' Utes. The Runnin' Utes started their first practice just this past Saturday, October 1st, was their first practice. Also, Cedric Bearfield, who is the SMU transfer, can officially start playing in December. And I believe David Collette, who is a transfer from Utah State, is able to start around the same time as well. So look for the Runnin' Utes. They've got an okay schedule. Obviously, the Pac-12 schedule. You know, we know the big teams there: Arizona, USC, UCLA, Oregon. You know, Cal and Stanford. You know, we get all those guys. Both home and away for majority of them. Our out-of-conference schedule isn't too great. we start off with Northwest, Nazarene, Concordia in Oregon, Coppin State, UC Riverside, Butler is a big one, Montana State, Utah Valley University. We're on the road at Xavier, come back against Prairie View A&M, and then we go on the Diamond Head Classic, which is in Honolulu. So Utah was invited to Honolulu to play in a tournament there, which has Tulsa, Stephen F. Austin, San Diego State, Southern Mississippi, San Francisco, Illinois State, and Hawaii. So a few good teams there, mainly Stephen F. Austin, San Diego State, we'll see what happens. Out-of-conference schedule doesn't look to be too tough. Utah should have a pretty good record going to Pac-12 play starting in January. So, you know, we could see another tournament run, depending on how things go out with Pac-12 play. And, you know, a lot of things are up in the air on, you know, kind of the other teams in the Pac-12. So look for Utah to kind of make some moves. And, you know, we've got a lot of new faces this year, with the loss of Loveridge, Pirtle to the draft, Dakari Tucker, Brandon Taylor. I mean, we've got a lot of new players coming in, a lot of athleticism coming in, which is, you know, something that we've been increasing year to year, and I think this year we've got a ton of it. So I'm excited for what our Runnin' Utes can do.
Yeah, I am too. Like you said, there's a lot of new faces, and excited to see what these guys are about and see if this team can gel. I'm excited to see Kuzma kind of be the guy this season. Yeah. I'm excited to see what he can do. And, you know, I thought Bonham's a pretty good point guard. See if he makes some strides and improves from last season. And so it's going to be exciting to see kind of what these running youths can do this season.
Most definitely. Well, that is all we've got for our Ute news. So let's jump right into it. Recap of University of California versus Utah. As we all saw, it came down to one play. Patrick and I just kind of watched a clip of it. And don't know if this is... You know, Moss just saw something differently when he was on the field, but it seemingly looked as if, you know, if he had gone right, he probably would have walked right into the end zone. And now we can't blame it all on Moss. There are way too many chances, for us to not put ourselves in that sort of situation. But a lot of interesting stats that I was able to find out. And as we talked about on our podcast last week, Cal runs a ton of plays. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, their quarterback threw 72 passes, which most teams don't even run 72 plays. So Utah's defense held Cal 17 points under their average, 233 yards under their average, 79 yards rushing under their average, 154 yards under their passing average, and 40 plays under their average. Excuse me. So, I mean, you look at those stats alone, and you're thinking, oh, the Utes probably beat them by 30 points. So, I mean, where do we start, Patrick? Where do we start?
When you look at it, this game is one of those games where you look at the stats and you see, the Utes did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
They won the time of possession. I believe that it was like 42 minutes to set, like almost 18 minutes.
42:01 to 17:59 in Utah's favor.
They kept Cal's offense off the field. They beat them in first downs. I think they had like 30 first downs compared to maybe 17.
Yep.
But, you know, it's a game where the Utes did everything right, except get that W, and that's what hurts the most. I mean, you look at that last play, you know, Moss had an opening, Asiata was leading the way. I believe Whittingham said, you know, Moss said that he saw something out of the corner of his eye. That's why he kind of deviated from that, mm-hmm. going that way. But you look at those, all the opportunities that the Utes had. I mean, that play action to... from Williams to Moyai,
mm-hmm.
that was a perfect play call. That was wide open,
mm-hmm.
and it just was a, you know, kind of a bad throw or kind of bounced off his hands there. But that was a perfect play call, so you can't really blame it on the play calling, because, you know, those, all the plays, they could have easily scored on either one of those. But, you know, losing that timeout did hurt him, because that took away, you know, the timeout where they could have maybe ran another play or whatnot. But, you know, it's just one of those heartbreaking games where the Utes do everything right. You know, they're injured, guys step up, and they, you know, they just couldn't get over that hump and get that W.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like you said, Patrick, almost in every statistical category, Utah beat Cal. 442 yards to 362. Cal had one turnover, the interception. Utah had zero. Another clean game for turnovers for Utah. Time of possession, 42 minutes and 1 second to 17:59. And first downs, 29 to 17. I mean, Utah literally did everything right. They held Cal to, you know, 40 plays under. If you're going to beat a team that runs a lot of plays and puts up a lot of points, your best defense is not letting that offense on the field. So Utah had the perfect game plan to go in there and, you know, ground and pound the ball, you know, and slowly move it up the field, waste time, keep the offense off the field. You know, fourth downs, again, you know, 4 for 5. You know, I mean, the one that we didn't get was, you know, the second to last drive of Utah's. And had we gotten that one, you know, turn that one first down, you know, we could be a touchdown ahead, you know, or 4 points, I guess, ahead, I guess, or three. Would that be three? Yeah. So, I mean, I love the aggressive play calling for the fourth downs. It's something that, you know, Ute fans have not seen in what is ages, it seems like. You know, for we're now 9 of 10 on the season. So, I mean, it's crazy to see. But, yeah, looking into every category, Utah dominated everything. I mean, we held them to 56 yards rushing. You know, I mean, we kept them off the ball and kept them from throwing the ball. But Cal, the chances they got, they executed every single one of them and got them.
Yeah, I mean, all fans saw how quickly Cal can score on that first drive. That mm-hmm. was so fast. And, you know, the game plan for the Utes, you know, I want to assume was to keep that offense off the field. Grind out the clock, because they knew, you know, when these guys strike, they're going to strike fast. And it just, you know, it was just like you said, like you know, we were talking about, it's just one of those games where the Utes, you look at the stats and you think the Utes won.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those games where they did everything right except get that W. And mm-hmm. that's the main thing that they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, is there something we could have done, the Utes could have done differently? You know, I mean, I keep thinking back, and I mean, obviously not digging a hole in the first quarter, you know, going down 2 touchdowns that built, gave us a hole that was, you know, it put a lot of pressure on our offense, you know? but I think over the last couple of games, we've realized that our offense can win us some games. So I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words with this game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the injuries that happened. I mean, there are a lot of injuries that happened that game. You had Patrick go out. You had Porter. You had Dillman. And, you know, Lowell was already out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, injuries hurt. But, you know, like you'd say, next man up. And a lot of guys, you know, rose to the occasion. I mean, you know, it sucked to have Patrick go out, but Troy Williams found out, you know, hey, I got some other receivers on this team. I got Raylon Singleton, who had a great game.
He did.
You know, Tyron Smith, Damari Simpkins. He was able to find other guys so that when Patrick does come back healthy,
mm-hmm.
he knows he can look the other way and get the ball to some of these other guys as well.
Yeah. I mean, Troy threw the ball to 10 different receivers again. You know, every game it seems like it's 8 to 10 receivers, which is phenomenal to get that type of, you know, passing out to so many different people. Singleton, 7 receptions, 98 yards. Tim Patrick, 4 for 40 before he went out with his injury. Tyron Smith, 2 for 43. Simpkins, 3 for 30. You know, and the list just goes on and on. I mean, a lot of our receivers are making impact plays. And like you said, you know, next man up. Singleton played a phenomenal game. Smith, great game, you know, in the wake of or the loss of, you know, Tim Patrick, and obviously not having Butler Byrd, you know, hurt a little bit too. You know, the ground game, Armand Shine really played a phenomenal game. 25 carries, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns. Zach Moss, 19 carries, 66 yards, 1 touchdown. You know, it seemed like the drive before was Shine, and then the game winning, or the what would have been the game winning drive, was Moss. Do you think we should have brought in Shine a little bit towards the end there, or are you comfortable with Moss? What do you think?
I like both those guys. I'm impressed with both of them. On that last drive, that goal line drive, you know, I kind of thought maybe they should have given it to Shine. He just seems more of a, he was, you know, making more, running more powerfully than Moss was in that game.
He seemed like a bully.
Yeah, he, and I mean, Armand Schein has impressed and gotten better each week, and continues just to run hard. And, you know, he's a violent runner. He hits the hole hard. He reminds me a lot of Booker. And so I wish they would have, you know, maybe given him a shot there down, you know, towards the 1 yard line. But, you know, you can't go wrong either way. Moss is a great back as well. And, you know, they've gone to Moss on all these fourth down conversions. It's basically been Moss on a lot of them. And,
yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't think you can go wrong either way. Both guys are playing well. Both guys continue to improve each week. And, you know, they definitely found a great duo to have back there.
Yeah, they absolutely have. You know, I mean, seems like, you know, with the loss of Booker from last year, and even, you know, Joe Williams, who was supposed to take the reins over, it seems like, you know, between these two, we've got equal production, if not more. You know, so very comfortable with our rushing game. You know, our offensive line is getting more and more comfortable, continually opening running lanes for our guys, which is great. I mean, obviously minus the last two stops. Yeah, Schein just looked really good. You know, like you said, he was a really powerful runner in the game, and, you know, maybe it was a little bit of a homecoming for him because he's from that area. But he definitely impressed a lot. And impressed Witt enough that he came out and said that he was a starter today for the Arizona game. And now, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that Moss is now going to go to, you know, five or less carries, but, you know, seemingly it looks like Schein is just going to get a little bit more attention with that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll both get, you know, this. I mean, Schein had 25 carries, Moss had 19. So I think, you know, you'll see that same production there from both of them. And then I know Whittingham said McCormick's a little bit nicked up as well. Mm-hmm. So he caught the injury bug as well. So when he gets fully healthy, he just adds another, you know, element to that backfield, that, and he can do a lot of the things out of the backfield, you know, play in the slot, catch passes out of the backfield, that these other guys can do. But I think McCormick, you know, is best suited for that, kind of a Darren Sproles type type guy. But, you know, I think that Schein has impressed enough over the last couple of weeks that, you know, he definitely deserves the starting nod.
Yeah. Well, let's move a little bit to our defense here. I feel like we kind of hashed out the offensive side of things. You know, defensively, we touched on the stats a little bit. How did you feel about Brian Allen getting torched on a couple deep passes? And then, why is his name escaping me?
Is it the freshman?
Yeah.
Blackman?
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we had Blackman, freshman, against Chad Hansen. You know, one of the, if not the top receivers in the country. Do you agree? I'm assuming you disagree by the look you're giving me now, you know, the head nodding or the smirk that he shouldn't have been there. But we had other quality players. It's not a knock against Blackman, but I don't think that that was the time and the place for him to be playing or on that play specifically, you know?
Yeah, Blackman one-on-one versus Hansen. I don't know if that was if they're playing man defense there, or if that was the play call, or if there was supposed to be maybe some help over the top from the safety or whatnot that didn't come. But yeah, I don't think you want to put a freshman. I think Blackman's going to be a good player, but
absolutely,
you know, Chad Hansen is on another level this season, and I don't think you put a freshman one-on-one with the top receiver in the NCAA. But as far as Brian Allen goes, you know, I thought he would do a better job on Hansen.
Yeah.
You know, I know he got burned on that first long touchdown, and then I believe he got burned again, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
two. He just, you know, he didn't.
I think three of them, actually.
Three. Yeah, he just, you know, doesn't seem like he played his best game.
No.
And having Reggie Porter go out hurt, and that's why they were having to play, you know, Blackman and yeah. some of the other freshmen, Burgess, I believe.
Yep, he played a little bit.
But, you know, just not a – the corners just didn't have their best game there.
Yeah. And, again, I'm not knocking Blackman at all. You know, probably more of a coaching decision to have him on the best player is more of what I'm knocking. But, I mean, it just goes to show the confidence that Scally and Shaw and, you know, those guys have confidence in those guys to make a play, to put them in those situations, which I do like, you know. You want to instill confidence in your players, you know, because they'll go out and fight for you every game, you know. And so... You know, it's frustrating, you know, that our defense, you know, kind of let up a little bit. But for the most part, we held them, you know, really to everything else but that long ball. You know, whether it was the double move, not enough pressure on the quarterback, you know, it just seems like they killed us. You know, Davis Webb picked us apart on the long passes.
Yeah, I expected the Utes to have a lot more turnover opportunities
yeah.
than they did. I know Allen had that one interception, but that was basically it.
Mm-hmm.
The sacks were kind of non-existent. I think yep. Pita T had one sack.
Yep, and that was near the end of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, Chase Hansen was the top tackler with six tackles. I know the defense was struggling a little bit in the tackling area there on a lot of the drives, but you know, defensively, I think they did a pretty decent job, but I think a lot of that's in part due to the Utes controlling that time of possession and keeping yeah. that offense off the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's kind of it that I've got for the game. I want to move on. It was an unfortunate ending to the game. The timeouts have been kind of hashed out over and over and over again. You know, it looked as if Witt came out and said that he was asking, you know, if the ball or if the clock was running, that he wanted the timeout. And the officials took that as he wants a timeout and they wouldn't give it back. So, you know, we lost out on a timeout. It seemingly changed the entire game plan from there on out. And, you know, Witt was, you know, extremely animated at the end of the game. You know, you could tell that he was very displeased with the officiating there towards the end.
And don't, I mean, if it's an honest referee's mistake, wouldn't, you know, you think they would give that timeout back and
you would
say,
think,
you know, that they, you know, he didn't call the timeout, which he obviously didn't, but you know, nothing you can do now and just got to move on from, yep. from the loss and move on to Arizona.
Yep. Yeah. And again, that did not dictate the end or the score of the game. Utah had its chances, you know, the drive before when, you know, we didn't convert in the red zone. You know, we had opportunities to win the game at other parts of the game. So moving on here, let's get in to the Ute Q's.
Now time for Ute Q's, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
So our Ute Q's here, we posted a couple. The first one, let's see here. You're looking at, do you want the Utes to continue with their aggressive approach to this season, especially on first downs? And, you know, we had quite a few responses here. At NYUte25, yes. At Real Fan Stand, yes, given the situation. I think Utah should have taken the three against Cal. At Bruce Black, Yes Please, at Tim Utes for Life, well, that won a game and lost one. Just be more selective. And at I Love to Teach, second. Yes. I mean, what are your thoughts on the question posted and the responses from our listeners?
I like the aggressive approach that the user taking this season, especially on the fourth downs. I just like to see it because you wouldn't have seen that last season, and it or even seasons before. It just shows that the coaches are starting to trust guys more to make the play, and they're essentially showing that they're there to win, and I like the aggressiveness. I do agree that in the Cal game, I think they probably should have kicked a field goal on one of those.
Yeah, I mean, that would have put it 26-28.
Yeah, and I think that they do have to kind of pick and choose where they're going to be aggressive and where they're not the rest of the season. But it's definitely something that's been nice to see. That's been different from years past.
Sure. And I think back, to Oregon, really not back to Oregon, but I guess more of the Chip Kelly days where I don't know if he ever punted. I think the only time he punted was if they were in within their 30-yard line, if that. Always going for it on fourth down, and it was statistically – I believe proven by, many different analysis that, it was better to go for it on fourth down than to punt, depending on where you are at in the field. And Chip Kelly obviously took that to heart because he rarely ever punted. And, then you think back to, 2 weeks ago, or I guess a week ago, to USC, Juju Smith-Schuster coming out and saying, it's like a Madden game. Do you punt in Madden? Well, I never punted in Madden, the hundreds of games I would play, I would never punt. It was like, what the heck? I'm going against the computer. I'm not punting.
Never.
Never. So I agree with the aggressive approach. I think I'm a little more with Tim Utes for Life, about being more selective. Yes. The fourth down won us a game. The fourth down kind of lost us a game. I wouldn't say it really did because it was, the drive before, and Utah still obviously had that potential game-winning drive to win it. But, definitely a little bit more selective with it, or at least, maybe even where you start breaking out the fake punts again, I don't know it, but I like the approach. I like the aggressive nature. It definitely makes us a more dangerous team because now teams, are playing, their defensive guys, a fourth down plus, potential, another set of four downs. So definitely will tire out, the defense a little bit more quicker as well. So the other question, we didn't have too many responses on this one, unless I missed it, but give us your final score and game ball versus Arizona with the secondary question, will Rich Rod's face reach a level of red that we've never seen before? At Ty Jensen 801, Utah 42, Arizona 23. Game ball goes to Armand Shine, 134 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. And I think we had one more, unless I missed it. I thought there was another response. Oh, there we go. At S. Glaus, 18. 31-23 Utes. Game ball. Excuse me. Whichever starter lasts the whole game without getting injured. Fair enough. game ball for me, or... The score and game ball for me, I definitely think I'm going to have to go with Shine as the game ball scoring. And we'll get into this here in our Arizona preview, but offensively, you know, I think we put up about 31 points. Defensively, you know, seems like Anu Solomon is the Utah killer. I don't think he's going to play. Seems like Khalil Tate, the freshman, will be playing. I think, and I hope that Scally brings the heat, makes him, you know, makes him think twice, three times. You know, I think that we hold him to 10 points. So 31-10, I think Shine gets the game ball.
I'm going to go with the Utes 27, Arizona 17. And I'm going to agree with you guys. I do think Shine's going to get the game ball. I think he's going to really shine in his starting debut.
Oh, no pun intended there, huh? Oh, yeah, and it looks like here. There it is. At Rick Caps 3, 42-21, Utah. Game ball to the refs that can call a game. I agree with you there. So, and that's it for our Ute Talk, our Ute Cues segment. For those of you that don't know what our Ute Cues are, tweet us your questions at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com. And you can also use the hashtag Ute Cues, UTEQS. Basically, we'll post some questions. If you guys have questions you want us to find out for you, post them. We'll do our research. We'll ask the coaches whatever we need to do to try and get the answers for you, and we'll talk about it here in the show each week. So thank you for those that participated this week in our questions, and let's move along here to our preview of University of Arizona Wildcats. Bear down, right?
Yep.
So we play Arizona Saturday, October 8th. Excuse me. This Saturday, October 8th. And let me see if I can find the game time on that one. I don't know if it's been announced.
It's at 8 p.m.
8 p.m.? Okay. Yep, there it is. So Arizona Wildcats, Rice-Eccles Stadium, the good old RES at 8 p.m.,
It's homecoming too, isn't it?
It is homecoming, so they are in the homecoming attire, which is pretty sweet. I love that uniform. I really want to get one. So it should be a great game. That one, do you got a channel on that one, Patrick?
I think it was on Pac-12. I'm not positive. Let me...
Anyways, while Patrick figures that out, we'll start digging in here. So Arizona, coming off a loss this last Saturday against UCLA, 45-24. Arizona also battling a lot of injuries. You know, they're starting rusher or running back Nick Wilson going down with an injury. They're starting quarterback. Or one of their starting quarterbacks, I guess, Dawkins, went down with an injury just before halftime. Anu Solomon, who has always seemingly dismantled Utah the past couple of years, he's out. And so we're looking at Khalil Tate, a highly touted freshman out of California. He came in and sparked the Wildcats. I believe of Wildcats, it was, let's see, I believe it was, they only had 10 points at the time when I started watching, and Khalil came in 5 of 9 passing attempts, 72 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also rushed 15 times for 79 yards. So he came in, real spark off the bench, you know, and really started giving UCLA some fits. Obviously I don't think they planned for it at all. But it'll be interesting to see. I imagine that Tate will be getting the start against Utah. Another, first career start for QB this year, going up against Utah and at Rice-Eccles again.
Yeah, the game's on Fox Sports 1.
Fox Sports 1, everybody, 8 p.m. Thank you, Patrick.
But yeah, Khalil Tate, he's a good, looks like a good, another good dual threat guy.
Yeah.
Can run and pass. He's got good size. He's 6'2", 212. Freshman. And then, you know, it's the Utes are going to keep seeing these good dual threat guys. That's kind of the new norm for the quarterbacks these days, is guys that can run and pass. So, you know, Utes got to expect the Utes to really dial it up and put some pressure on him and see what he can do.
Most definitely. Let's see here. So defensively, I mean, for Arizona, you know, what can we expect, or what can Utah's offense expect, you know, going against Arizona? You know, obviously we talked about it, you know, Whittingham trying to get the monkey off his back with Rich Rod. You know, seemingly Arizona has had our number since we've been into the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, every year it just seems like Arizona just, you know, kills the Utes.
Yeah, they're just quiet until they play Utah.
Stabs them in the heart, and their running backs always seem to rush for like 5,000 yards against the Utes, and just always seems to be a struggle game. So hopefully the Utes can get over that hump this Saturday and get that victory. I think, you know, Arizona's Nick Wilson, their starting running back's a little bit nicked up. So I think they said he'll share or be kind of a co-starter with, I think it was Tyrell Johnson back there.
We had a really good game.
Yeah. And, you know, they have some decent receivers. I know they got Trey Griffey, you know, Ken Griffey Jr.'s son there. And he's a pretty good receiver. And then, you know, I know they have another guy, a receiver, last name is Brown. So they have decent athletes. They're not quite as, you know, good as they have been in years past, especially on the defensive side. But, you know, we said that about Cal as well.
Yeah.
But the Utes should definitely be able to win this game, hopefully. Sound a lot like last week when we were talking about Cal, but you know, I don't believe a new Solomon will play, so we don't have to worry about that. So I'm excited to see what the Utes, how the Utes come out. You know, they lost, see how they come out, see if they're fired up and ready to take it to them. This is definitely a game they need to win. This game counts, you know, more than the Cal game, because it is a Pac-12 South game, and you know, you can't lose these Pac-12 South games, or you're going to find yourself out of the title hunt there pretty fast.
Yep. Yeah, because of the tiebreakers, it goes, you know, division first. So we need to win against the Pac-12 South teams. Let's see here. So Arizona last year, you know, again, a new Solomon, the killer, 17 of 27, 277 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Played a much better game than Travis Wilson did last year. You know, they beat us 37-30 in double overtime. It was a heartbreaker. Devontae Booker had gone down with that injury. You know, I imagine that if Booker was playing that game, you know, or finishing it out, it would have been a win for sure. But I mean, you know, Solomon always killed us. Solomon's not, doesn't look like he's going to be playing this year. Arizona's had some interesting games this year. They lost 18-16 versus BYU. They beat Grambling State 31-21. They beat Hawaii 47-28. They lost against Washington 35-28. So only by one touchdown. And this is the same Washington team that just beat Stanford by 38 points.
Yep.
I mean, so I Arizona obviously did something right that game. And then they just lost this last weekend 45-24 against UCLA. So, you know, big game. We, you know, like Patrick said, defensively and even offensively, defensively, we should expect the same about as Cal. Offensively, I would think more, I don't know. What team am I thinking of here? I mean, Tate is more of a runner, not a phenomenal passer. But you know, they didn't really give him a whole lot of passing opportunities when he came in, but when he you know, when he did, he did all right. So I mean, what kind of offense, what do you think we're going to be seeing come Saturday night?
I think it all depends on, you know, Nick. I think Nick Wilson's a good back. But I mean, Utah's rushing defense is so good, but you have to look at years past. They've been good in years past, and Arizona's killed them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know who to compare Arizona's offense to with Tate starting. Obviously, he's a better runner than passer, so maybe you could compare it to BYU. Maybe.
I was thinking the same thing.
Taysom Hill, he's a better runner. Well, he used to be a better runner than passer. They have a fairly decent running back. They got some big-bodied receivers. So, yeah, I would maybe compare them. I don't think they run the same offense as BYU, but similar styles, I would say.
Yeah, okay. Well, as far as kind of Pac-12 standings go, let me touch on that because I don't have anything left to really break down Arizona at this point. I think there's a lot of question marks for both Arizona with their injuries, with Utah with our injuries. You know, seemingly next man up for both teams right now. You know, Winningham again came out this morning and said, you know, there's about a dozen guys that are kind of on that fence that may or may not play. You know, hopefully, you know, we can make it through here without maybe even playing some of those guys. Obviously, you want them back, but you know, maybe you feel comfortable enough with some of our, you know, our freshmen and or you know younger guys coming up through the ranks that you know we might be able to squeak out a win at home, and give our guys an extra week to heal. So real quick, just over the conference standings and overall record, you've got Washington 2-0 in conference, 5-0 overall. Stanford 2-1 in conference, 3-1 overall. Washington State 1-0 in conference, 2-2 overall. Cal is 1-1, 3-2 overall. Oregon State 0-1 in conference, 1-3 overall. Surprising, Oregon 0-2 in conference, 2-3 overall. I mean, that's a shocker. I mean, you could almost all but count them out for the Pac-12 game.
Yeah, that's very odd to see.
It's very odd to see. You know, and then you move down here to the south. You've got Colorado 2-0 in conference, 4-1 overall. Arizona State 1-1 in conference, 4-1 overall. Utah 1-1 in conference, 4-1 overall. USC 1-2 in conference, 2-3 overall. UCLA 0-1, 3-2 overall, and then Arizona 0-1, 2. UCLA is 0-1, 3-2 overall. Arizona is 0-1, 2-3 overall. So, I mean, the South is seemingly still open for Utah. I don't anticipate Colorado winning out. You know, I mean, maybe they're a lot higher on, you know, or maybe a lot of people are, maybe I'm not as high on Colorado as other people, but I just can't see Colorado staying undefeated in the conference. You know, I think, you know, with UCLA, if we can beat UCLA down in UCLA or down in California, that'll almost all but kind of lock up really the main tiebreakers that have hurt us in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the South it's an interesting season. I mean, who would have thought you'd see Colorado, you know, there at the top and then Oregon at the bottom.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting season. The Pac-12 South title is still, you know, it's pretty open. I don't think any of these teams are, you know, going undefeated or not having at least one loss in the conferences. But, you know, the Utes still are on track for that Pac-12 South title. The Cal loss hurts, but it doesn't hurt them in regards to that hunt. that they're in. So hopefully they can come out fired up and take care of business and get to that title game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do you have anything else for us, Patrick? Is that it? Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good. I'm just excited to see how this Ute team responds and how they come out against Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I've seen a couple of players tweet out, almost instantly after the game at how frustrated they were, not with necessarily the play calling or anything like that, but that, they kind of let themselves and their teammates down, but a lot of them responded, with, hey, we'll take a loss early and win out the rest of the way, it's not, how hard you get punched in the mouth. It's how you get up back up. And so a lot of the players are, almost energized, re-energized, to come out and really show the nation what Utah football is all about. So, well, thank you everybody for listening to Ute Talk, from our audio engineer, Marty, co-host Patrick, and myself, Andy. We will see you next time. As always, go Utes.
Go Ute.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.